Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Climbing the Ivy on the Fansided Network. This is your host, Alex Pat, alongside my usual co-host, Adam McGinnis. We have some goods, some bads, and some nehs to talk about tonight, as usual. Some bad news coming out of South Bend the other day with Yu Darvish. We'll definitely talk about that. Some offensive struggles that we've seen pretty much throughout the last week. We'll talk about that as well. And, of course, we will talk about the final stretch of the season. We're down to the last 39 games. There's still a long way to go, but not that much in terms of a whole season, but plenty of time for different stuff to happen. But first, let's welcome in Adam. How are you doing tonight?
Not too bad. How are you
good,
doing,
good.
Alex? You know, I never ask you that.
I'm just fine.
I'm just... genuinely glad to hear that.
Yeah, I have some doubts in that sarcastic tone, so I'm just going to move right along.
See what I deal with, people?
See what I deal with. Eye roll.
I try to be
anyway,
to be a friend, and what do I get?
Well,
Jack,
you get to be on the show.
Oh, I get to. Yes, I shouldn't take that privilege for granted, should I?
All right, I'm going to write out a new contract for my new co-host here and release papers.
I don't want to be on your stupid show anyway.
Adam H. McGinnis resigns. I just need you to sign on the dotted line. Sorry.
Didn't want
just
to be
kidding.
Here anyway. So
I'm just kidding. I could never get rid of you, even though you do
Bye,
annoy me very
you.
Much.
Oh, man.
So, we'll just get right into it. The big news is Yu Darvish yesterday was making a rehab start in South Bend. It was his second rehab start of his absence. He's been not pitching in the majors since May. The past few weeks, he's been thrown off a mound, simulated games. Looks pretty good in the sim games in terms of a velocity and command. You weren't really worried too much about what he was doing in terms of giving up hits. As long as he was throwing fine and he was feeling good, that was really what was important. And we saw that in the simulated games. Then he goes to South Bend, rehab start, scoreless first inning, strikes out the last guy. Then he comes to the mound for the second inning, feels pain, and then he's taken out. And immediately when everyone heard the news, just a collective sigh. And right now we're waiting on the MRI results. So if you're listening to this show like a day after, the MRI results may already be out. But for right now, while we don't have the news, we're just going to kind of play worst case scenario here. And that is Darvish does not pitch again in 2018. Adam, what was your whole reaction to when they made the announcement of the Darvish news?
Just sheer disappointment, I'm sure, like every other Cubs fan out there, because we had gotten some better news lately on Darvish that he was on his way and making progress. And the word was that early September, he could potentially be coming back. And now it's starting to look like that's not going to be the case. And realistically, he may not pitch the rest of this year, which, you know, to put it bluntly, that sucks. But I would rather the Cubs play it safe with him. You know, don't use him this year if you don't have to. Obviously, if they could use him, with the inconsistencies of the rotation, they could use him. But I would rather the Cubs not put him out there and, you know, further injure him, because I want him 100% for next year. That would be my top priority for Darvish.
Exactly. Don't damage what already is damaged to try to squeeze it in. You want him 100%. And look, let's say he doesn't pitch again this year. and he comes back next year and he's lights out, you know what? You'll probably say that not having him pitch in 2018 after the injury was probably worth it in the long run. Probably, hopefully.
Maybe, definitely maybe. I just, this whole thing with Darvish, this has just been a monumental disappointment. I mean, and I feel bad for the guy because obviously he didn't plan for this to go this way. And he, you know, I have no doubt that he's doing everything he can to, I'm sure he wants to be there, but you know,
absolutely,
this is the way it goes. It's unfortunate. There's nothing you can do about it. And the Cubs are just going to have to find a way to work around it. That's all there is to it.
And, you know, I quickly want to shut down a narrative here because I feel like there's a narrative going around that Darvish isn't pitching because he doesn't want to or he's not sucking it up or whatever. And look, you can't say he hasn't been putting in the effort. We've seen him in all these simulated games. He's been throwing a lot on the side. He's been doing what he can to try to get back. It's not like he's just sitting around saying, I don't want to pitch. He clearly wants to pitch. He has been working at it. I mean, would you see him doing all this work if that were the case? I really don't think so. And, you know, we could go on about the Alex Rodriguez comments or whatever. Look, only he knows how he feels. And he has had injury problems before. And if he comes up and says, I want another MRI, that tells you that he is legit concerned about something.
Yeah, and, you know, I wouldn't take – A-Rod is a chud, and don't believe a word that comes out of his mouth, you know. We've already talked about this. You know, A-Rod doesn't know what he's talking about. And, you know, I get fans being annoyed and mad about the Darvish. You can be mad about what's going on with Darvish without being mad at Darvish. Because
right.
I think some fans get that right. twisted, that when you express your frustrations – over the Darvish situation, people fire back and like, oh, you have no right to be mad at Darvish. I'm not mad at the guy. You know, I realize he didn't want this to happen. I'm just mad that it's happening in general. I don't have anything against Darvish personally. You know, the two are separate things. There is a difference between being frustrated with how things are going and, you know, just being a jerk to you Darvish online, which, you know, some people are doing that, which is not cool, but
I don't
like
seeing that. I really don't.
No. There's really no room for that. There's no reason for that. I mean, I can't say it enough times. Nobody wants to be out there more than you, Darvish. That's a tried and true cliche, but it's true.
Yeah, and I mean, if he didn't want to pitch, why would he have signed here for all those years and money? He darn
right.
well knew that he was coming to a market where he was going to be expected to be part of a winning team, one that will be contending for another World Series. It's not like he
right.
just went and signed with the Marlins. He signed here for a reason.
Yeah, and you know, like you said, his rehab has been pretty heavily publicized. You know, we've seen what's going on lately. He's obviously putting in the work to try to get back out there. So, and we can't. We can't say he's not doing enough because that doesn't appear to be the case.
Exactly. And the other thing I asked this earlier is, if he's feeling pain in his arm, but you want him to go out there and pitch, that's just going to make things worse. Not only will he have more pain and possibly do more damage, but you won't be effective if you're throwing the ball and you can't make any breaking pitches because your arm hurts. You're going to get teed off.
Yeah, it's if he was feeling any sort of pain at all, which he was, then yeah, play it safe. Don't risk anything. I mean, the way the Cubs are playing this year, they're already going to have a tough time making a serious run in the playoffs. The way the lineup has been super inconsistent, the rotation even more so. So it's not like Yu Darvish is the one piece that just brings everything together. So, I mean, and even if he was, there's no sense in risking his health for the rest of his contract just to try to squeak something out this year. So unless he's adamant that he is feeling 100% ready at some point this year, I would not play with fire like that with him.
Yeah, I totally agree. Now, I did our usual poll question. I know we didn't get to it last week, but here's the one I did today. We had 84 votes on this poll. The question was, how do you feel about the rotation potentially without Yu Darvish the rest of the year? This includes regular season and postseason. And 14% said we'll be just fine. 40% said decent enough to get by. And 46% said concerned. Now, that can mean a few different things. Some people could be saying they're concerned because Yu Darvish isn't pitching straight up. They could also be saying that while saying they're just concerned about the rotation in general because, let's face it, it has not, as a whole, pitched up to what we thought it was going to be. Or people are just concerned in general. So I don't know what you make of those results, but I thought it was pretty eye-opening that even though Yu Darvish has gotten some backlash from fans before, I think that it does speak a lot that people legit want him back and healthy because they realize the value that he does bring when he's going full speed. People do still realize that.
So for me, for that poll, my answer would be, I voted C, but if I could elaborate on that, it would be a combination of B and C, a combination of decent enough to get by and concerned, because I feel both of those things at the moment. Because the Cubs, the rotation that they've got right now without Darvish, it is decent enough to get by, or I should say it could be decent enough to get by.
On
but
paper,
they have to play.
It certainly is.
Right, but they all have to pitch closer to what their potential is, to their peak, and we see flashes of it, but they can't string it together for two or three starts in a row. You know, it's one great start for somebody like Hendricks or Quintana, maybe two in a row, and then the third one, it's just a nightmare. And, you know, that's what concerns me, because once you get into the postseason, you have no idea what you're going to get from those guys, and that's scary, because that means that, you know, it would not shock me to see the Cubs make it all the way to the World Series again. It really would not. But it also would not shock me at all if they got swept in the first round. That's the frustrating thing about this team, is that neither of those scenarios would surprise me.
Yeah, no, I definitely see all the points you made, and they're all very valid. I think that if you look at it on paper, you say, okay, you don't have Yu Darvish, but if we're just talking postseason rotation, Lester, Hendricks, Hamels, Quintana. They're your four guys. It's not like you have to go and be like, well, we have to claim somebody for the postseason. There's your four right there. And this just goes to show that that Hamels trade was huge. And so far, it has been huge.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you could quite call it the Justin Verlander of 2018 because, well, I mean, they're comparable, but we got to wait and see.
You got to see some postseason starts to make that comp.
Yeah, and, you know, even the regular season, a lot could happen between now and the end of the regular season. But so far, it's looking dynamite. I mean, really? Well, I wish he could start every game. It doesn't work like that, but man, he has just been a spark plug for this team. I mean, you know, you get all these clunker starts from the other guys, and then Hamels, it's his turn, and you get a gem. I wish we'd get more consistency from the other guys, though, because man, if Kyle Hendricks pitched like he can, and same for Quintana, that would be a dynamite rotation. It really would. But it's just it's kind of scary how things are going right now, because it really could go any way.
If there are some words of encouragement I would offer, it would be this. A, Hendricks has looked more like himself the past few starts. And sometimes the lines don't show it, but if you look at the stuff he threw, especially like against Milwaukee, the line was nowhere near as good as how he looked. He was missing bats left and right, and the command looked great. Two of those four runs that were charged were because, it was an infield single, and then a borderline walk, and then Edwards came in and gave up the runs, but they were charged to Hendricks. You're seeing him miss a lot more bats, and I think that's really key, missing bats. That's something that you need to see more from these starters. And I've seen more of that the past few starts. So I think right now, who knows what could change, but I think he's trending in the right direction. John Lester, he's typically hit rough patches in July and early August, but His last start looked really great. He looked much sharper with the breaking ball, the fastball, getting a lot of swings and misses there. And John Lester in the postseason, we don't even need to go in depth about that. We all know what he can do. The one I am a little concerned about, and this is a guy I really like, but Jose Quintana, sometimes you don't know what you're going to get from a guy who was so unbelievably consistent for 5 years in the American League. That is strange.
Yeah, his command has just been so shaky. Not at all what we're used to seeing from him in his White Sox days, where he could really put it anywhere he wanted. The stuff wasn't electric, but he could place pitches about as well as anyone in the league. And we haven't seen a whole lot of that with Chicago. And we see it every once in a while, but man, he has some starts where he just is missing everything. And yeah,
he's missing everything but bats.
Yeah, yeah.
In those starts.
Unfortunately, yeah, that's been the case. And, you know, he's kind of had the same problem that Hendricks has had too, where it's really like the first and second innings that have been biting him. I think that I've noticed that if those guys can get through the first couple innings okay, then they generally put together a pretty solid line. But it seems like it's those first two innings where they're really getting burned.
High pitch counts and all that. Now, I'm not trying to rag on Quintana too much because you know me. I have been a defender of the guy, and I'm a fan of the guy, and he's had some really nice stretches this season. We're just not seeing the usual consistency that we've seen before. I mean,
no.
You talked about the command. That's the biggest problem, I think. And, yeah, it's baffling.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate, and obviously, to this point, I would say the trade has gone in the White Sox favor. I mean, I guess we can't say that definitively yet, because we don't know how Eloy is going to play for the South side, and he's not up yet. He should be. There's really no reason why he shouldn't be.
At least they got Kopech up over there now.
Yeah, but I wouldn't say that the trade was a mistake, though. I mean, some people look at what Quintana has done and have said, oh, what a horrible trade that was. But, I mean, that's hindsight 2020. I would say at the time that was still a very good move to make. And there's still plenty of time for Quintana to turn things around and to be more valuable. But, it's hard to see what he's done so far and see super prospect Eloy Jimenez tearing it up in the White Sox system. That definitely hurts, but you know, there's still
time.
That
was
going to
be part of it no matter what, honestly. I mean, let's face it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know what hurts worse is trading Glaber for Chapman and then the Yankees ending up with both of those guys. Like that's another one of those moves where I don't regret making it. You know, I still think that the Cubs maybe would have won the World Series without him, but it doesn't really it's no use to even think about that because they did it. That's all that matters. I'd do it again, but it still really hurts my soul to see that the Yankees got both of those guys in the end. That really sucks, especially since it's the Yankees, the freaking Yankees.
You know, as soon as you mentioned Gleyber Torres, I just kind of glanced up at my big Chicago Cubs World Series championship towel and then just kind of shrugged, not going to lie.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's always hard to give up a once-in-a-generation talent. I mean, who knows what he'll end up doing. So far, he looks like he's going to have a good, solid career, maybe be a superstar. But yeah, I mean, the entire goal of this whole thing is to win the World Series, and the Cubs did it. So I have no regrets in that regard. I think you can feel both ways. People do this, especially on Twitter, that you have to pick and choose whether it was worth it. I think it's okay to say, it sucks to see Glaber shredding it for the Yankees, while also saying, you know what, it was worth it though, World Series.
Yeah, exactly. No, that's totally fair. And the same thing with Quintana. You could go back and forth there too. And, you know, here's the other thing we got to keep in mind about the Quintana trade. Last year, he was key to that team winning the division. Last year, he had with the Cubs, He had a 3.74 ERA, a 3.25 FIP, a WHIP of 1.1, and a strikeouts per nine inning of 10.5, which if that was over a full season, that would have been a career high. I mean, on total in 2017 between the Sox and the Cubs, his 9.9 was a career high. So he was really good last year for the Cubs. He was very key in winning the division. And, you know, he had two good postseason starts before things went south in that final start, but that was when the series was pretty much over. So you already got decent value from Quintana. We're just looking for the consistency this year. And again, we've seen the flashes of it. Heck, his last start in Pittsburgh, he was pretty good in Pittsburgh. He started a little shaky in the first inning, but he got through it. And then he had a great stretch. And unfortunately, his game ended, it kind of ended basically on that infield single. If he fields that, he probably gets to the sixth and maybe the seventh. So overall, you had to like what you saw there. I still really like Quintana. I think that he can do some good things down the stretch here. You just worry a little bit sometimes this season.
Yeah, and I didn't mean to insinuate that trade has been a total bust, because it definitely has not been the case. And Quintana overall has still been a very good pitcher for the Cubs. I just mean that he hasn't been as good as maybe they had hoped, or as good as we had expected from him. He hasn't quite been White Sox Quintana, but he still has been a very good, serviceable starting pitcher for the Cubs, no doubt.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, lately, the command in terms of walks has been a little bit better because the base on balls per nine has gone down a little bit in his last few starts. Really, the big blemishes lately was that Milwaukee start when he hung a few curveballs to Ryan Braun. You could take away those and the start would look a heck of a lot better, but, you know, you can't do that.
Can we just take away Ryan Braun?
Yeah, well, I don't know if he's going to play anytime soon now.
Ship him to Canada or something?
All the way to Canada. Man, that is so far. Hey, I don't think a lot of Cubs fans would complain. He's killed the Cubs over the years, and he did off Quintana the other night. And Quintana's record against the Brewers has been unbelievably good. The Brewers never were able to solve Quintana until that last start, but most of that damage was single-handedly inflicted by Ryan Braun.
Right. These things happen, you know. Ryan Braun's of the world. They come around and ruin everything that's good and nice, and you know, they must be destroyed. That's all I have to say about that. That's my expert analysis.
Well, we do thank you for your expert analysis. That's why you're here.
You're welcome.
So, speaking of the Brewers, you know, I think we covered pretty much the rotation here. We're going to go into a little bit of the playoff race. You know, obviously, it's still fairly tight, and it's probably going to be fairly tight through most of it. I have to remember exactly what our bet was, but...
Yeah, I want to say that it was 7 games or 7.5 games?
Yeah, it was like 7 or 8 by a certain date.
I think it was 7. What was the date?
That's what I can't remember. We'd have to go back to the archives and listen.
I feel like the date is approaching, or maybe I want to say almost that it was like today or tomorrow. I can't remember exactly, but either way, if it was today or if it's a week from now, it's not looking good for me. It's looking like you are going to win that bet.
Yeah. It's not a bet I really wanted to win. But, you know, looking at the standings, as of right now, as we're recording, this is obviously going to change later because I do believe the Brewers do play tonight. They were playing the Cincinnati Reds. So the standings could obviously change, but Milwaukee, as of recording right now, 3.5 back of the Cubs. Now, the Cubs are up several more games in the loss column due to the differences in schedule and games played, whatnot. Cardinals are 4 back, and they're only half a game out of the wild card, and the Cardinals have been red hot. I want to get your opinion currently on the Cardinals.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm more worried about the Cardinals than the Brewers, to be perfectly honest with you. The Brewers have been kind of... up and down. The Cardinals have just been on a tear since the All-Star break, though. I mean, they are really playing some solid baseball, as much as it pains me to say that. But, yeah, I would almost consider St. Louis to be a bigger threat than Milwaukee at this point. And
right now, yeah, really, I can agree.
It's shaping up to be a really exciting finish. Like, I don't know if this – maybe I'm off here, but it just seems like the last couple of years it hasn't been all that exciting overall towards the end. Like, it's been pretty much set in stone, like, 2 or 3 weeks ahead of time. Like, it just hasn't been that close. It's going to be some close calls this year. I mean, not just in the National League either. Like, I'm really excited to see whether Oakland or Houston wins that division.
Oh, I want to see Oakland win so bad.
So
I would love to see
so
Oakland win.
I love Oakland is so cool. I think Billy Beane's a little overrated. I was talking about this with my dad not that long ago that, like, you know, I get that they have this low payroll and they're not a big market team. They don't have the luxuries that the Yankees, the Cubs, Dodgers have. But he puts together one good season like every 8 years, and then the rest of them are total clunkers. And he gets lauded as some kind of genius where Billy Beane is played by Brad Pitt in a Hollywood movie. But I don't know. All that aside, I still really like the Oakland A's. They're cool. They got the best uniforms in the league, and I hope they win that division.
I do too. And you know what's so funny? When someone mentions Billy Beane or talks about Billy Beane and I picture him, I picture Brad Pitt, not actually Billy Beane. It's kind of funny.
And Billy Beane, for those of you who do not know, does not look like Brad Pitt. Like, it's not even close.
No, he really doesn't.
Billy Beane could not walk into a bar and turn on the charm with the ladies like Brad Pitt could. But
well, it's funny. Billy Beane could walk into a bar. You're not going to be like, oh, you look like Brad Pitt. That's not going to happen.
Yeah. He looks more like Danny DeVito, for being honest.
That's an interesting comparison.
Yeah, he doesn't look anything like Danny DeVito either.
I was going to say. What?
I'm just trying to spit flames here. I don't know. He looks like I don't know. He really just looks like your average banker or something.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't look like Brad Pitt. Doesn't look like Danny DeVito. Looks like a regular old guy.
Billy Beane looks like Billy Beane.
Exactly. And you know, I really do like Moneyball. I really do enjoy that movie a lot. I think it's a really fun baseball movie. I think one of my favorite scenes is when they show like how they make a trade. I thought that was a really fun scene. But
I have never seen it.
Really?
And I keep saying that I'm going to watch it at some point too, because everybody I've ever talked to who's seen it says it's a great movie, but I don't know. Maybe something just rubs me the wrong way about Brad Pitt playing a GM. I don't know.
Watch it. Even if you can't like make the connection between Billy Beane and Brad Pitt, I still think it's very worth watching.
All right. I will watch it between now and next week's show, and I will give you my review.
Cool. Also, I will warn you this. Philip Seymour Hoffman does not look like Art Howe either. Just keep that in mind.
I can get over that, though, because Philip Seymour Hoffman's cool. Like, I like him in everything he's ever been in.
Maybe rest in peace.
Yeah.
I'll always love him in Big Lebowski, where he goes, oh, that's right. You never went to college.
That had not occurred to us, dude. That's one of my favorites, too. Like, everything he says in that movie is gold in all of
good
his facial
Brandt.
Expressions. Yeah. Brandt. Oh, man.
This is our concern, dude.
Her life is in your hands, dude.
Oh, I love it. But, yeah, whatever we were talking about. The standings. So, kind of back to that. Yeah, Brewers currently playing the Reds. The Cardinals are going to be playing the Dodgers. My question to you about the Cardinals is this, and keep in mind, this LA-St. Louis series is huge for the wild card because
yes,
the Cardinals are a half
for
a game back,
teams.
The Dodgers are one and a half. Yeah. It's a huge series.
Yeah.
Here's
so
my
you've
question
got...
for you.
Okay. Shoot.
Are the Cardinals going on a magical run, or are they just really hot?
Yeah, it's both. They're going on a black magic run because it's the Cardinals, and they've got devil magic on their side every single year. And this is only like the fourth time we've mentioned this, but Mike Matheny getting fired was probably huge for them. And they just all, I don't know, everything is clicking for them. Matt Carpenter continues to challenge for the NL MVP. I don't know that he's been super hot as of late. I think he's maybe sort of cooled down just a little bit, but
run was not sustainable for any player.
No, definitely not. But still, overall, his body of work, he's having a really like a career year, especially with the power numbers. My God, that guy is just mashing. It's stupid.
Yeah.
But
it's
really,
insane.
Really cool to see. There's like five or six teams in the National League all fighting for a wild card spot right now. I mean, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is. It like you said, it kind of makes it more interesting. Do you have any dark horse teams that could maybe make one of those wild card spots that not a lot of people are talking about right now?
You know, I can't really say that I do because – you know, last time we talked, I said don't count the Nationals out yet. And I still sort of think that maybe they could do something. They've got the kind of lineup that if it gets hot enough, they could start clawing their way back a little bit. But they would need some help from the Phillies and the Braves, too. They'd need those guys to start losing a little bit more. But otherwise, I think it's pretty much down to, you know, Phillies, Rockies, Brewers, Cardinals, and Dodgers. I think I don't feel good about the Pirates. I applaud them for being ambitious and going out and making moves to try to improve this year. Getting Chris Archer and who is the reliever they got.
I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, can't remember his name. So whoops. Sorry about that. But yeah, the Pirates were buyers at the deadline, and I thought that was pretty cool. I thought, you know, the fans should really appreciate that, the fact that they didn't sell everything just because it looked like they weren't going to win the division. I think it's really cool to see a team going for it, even though their odds are not great. But that being said, I don't see them being a legitimate threat to take one of those wild card spots. I just don't think they quite have enough. Everything would need to go right for them to squeak in. So I think it's down to those five. I think the Dodgers that could do a lot of damage. I really just hope at this point that it's not the Brewers. You know, as much as I hate the Cardinals, I would rather see them get that spot than the Brewers, because the Brewers to me are just a really, really boring team. I mean, they are the vanilla team in the league. I just, nothing about them excites me. Everything is so bland, from their players to their manager to their uniforms. Just no, I don't know. I don't like the Brewers.
Well, it will certainly be an interesting race. And you brought up the Pirates. Yeah, I pretty much agree with you there. They would have to get pretty hot. I do think they're a better team than people give credit for. But those trades that they did make are not only for now, but they're for the future, because the pitchers that they got have several years of control. So that's kind of them kind of buying for the future as well as this year as well. So I thought those were some pretty smart moves. I know there's a little bit of frustration from fans saying, you just sold Cole and McCutcheon, and now you're buying. If you would have kept those two and kept buying, think about where we could be now. But I still think that there's going to be some decent years ahead for the Pirates.
Yeah, I mean, there's a case to be made for Cole, for sure. But Andrew McCutcheon has not been the elite Andrew McCutcheon that we're used to seeing for a couple years, at least a couple years now. So I don't think – I mean – I could see it from the standpoint of, you know, that's the kind of player you wish would have been with the team for his whole career. Like, see, the Pirates
right.
letting Andrew McCutcheon go to me would be like the Cubs letting Anthony Rizzo go. You know, even And Rizzo is still great, obviously, but even if he wasn't, he's the kind of player that it just makes you sad to see him leaving your franchise. But, yeah, I mean, Cole would be nice for them to have, that he could be a game changer for the Pirates.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So the Cubs, with their lead, I think it's pretty clear that they need to take care of business over the next week or so, because, like we talked about earlier on this show and other episodes, this is the stretch where they can do some damage. They're playing 2 against the Tigers, 4 against the Reds, 3 against the Mets. I think 6-3 or 7-2 would be that realistic area to shoot for. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that's fair. They need to win each series up until the Braves, I think. The Braves are going to be the first good team the Cubs will play over this
next
stretch.
And that's just a makeup game, so it's just one game.
Yeah, you're right. It is just one game. And then a Phillies series, yeah?
That'll be tough.
Yeah, that should be tough. And hopefully we get to see Jake Arrieta in that one. Because
I know,
we've played the Phillies already, haven't we? And that didn't line up, did it?
4-game set. Everyone was pitching in that series but Arrieta.
Yeah, that was... I'm looking at it right now, and it's looking like we're not going to get Arrieta in this series either.
Hey, maybe postseason. You never know.
That could be pretty cool.
Imagine him and Cole Hamels in the postseason Cubs-Phillies. Imagine that.
Ooh, Hamels, that would be epic. That would be so cool.
A rematch of the no-hitter, but on other teams.
Yeah, that's some baseball nerdery stuff, right? Oh man, you got me excited for the potential of the future now. That could be cool. But yeah, I'm really hoping the Cubs beat the Tigers both times here. They really
you gotta
should,
win both
but,
those.
Yeah, they should. I guess I'd be okay with a split, but then after that, I gotta win the series with the Mets.
Yeah, I mean the Reds, they had that hot stretch. They kind of cooled off a bit. Now the Mets, you could say, well, if DeGrom is pitching one day, they'll be tough to beat, but you still want to take 2 or 3 from those guys, especially at home.
Yeah, at home, you really do need to take 2 out of 3. You know? And it is going to be tough, because those first 2 games, there's going to be Noah Syndergaard and Jacob DeGrom, so that's not going to be easy at all. But yeah, you got to find a way to squeak 2 out of 3.
Yeah, I think one of those games are just going to have to win low scoring, kind of like they did in Pittsburgh when the offense was really struggling and they only scored 4 runs in that series. And again, that's been another hot topic, has been the struggling offense. But luckily, the pitching was so good in that series to win 2 games and turning 7 double plays. How cool is that? So you may have to do one of those type things again.
Ridiculous. Yeah, and it very easily could be, because I think it's going to be Lester and Hamels. So you got Noah Syndergaard versus John Lester, and then Jacob DeGrom versus Cole Hamels the first 2 games. So those 2 could be really good pitchers' duel games, which I enjoy watching. Like I don't get me wrong, I love seeing the offensive explosions as much as anybody else, but I also do enjoy a nice pitchers' duel from time to time.
Oh, sure, especially when
very
it's a pitcher's
duel
you anticipate.
Right. And those
when you
should
look
be
at the scorecard and see it, it's like, ooh, DeGrom and Lester, there you go.
Yes. But DeGrom versus Hamels, that should be a nationally televised one. Like, that could be that should be enough of a draw to get other fan bases watching too. Like, if I wasn't a Mets fan or a Cubs fan, I would be interested in that, the way those guys are pitching, because DeGrom's going to win a Cy Young.
Oh, I agree. Definitely. I'd watch it. Now, the only thing I'm concerned about over this stretch is this offense going to pick it up? They really should. But will they? Right now,
yeah,
it's kind of hard to know, because so many people are in slumps right now. Contreras is in a slump. Elmora's in a slump. Russell's been in a slump for a long time. Kyle Schwarber's looked better lately. He was in a slump, but he's looked better. Ian Happ's in a slump. A lot of slumps. And no Chris Bryant.
Yeah. Hopefully we get Chris Bryant soon. I'm not sure where we're at on that. I don't know how that's developing. I mean, it was starting to sound like he was on his way towards being back at some point in the regular season, but I really just don't know. But yeah, the lineup is another one of those things with the Cubs where it's impossible to say. It could turn around or it could not, and neither one of those would surprise me.
You hope that during the Red Series at Wrigley Field, if you get some wind blowing out, that they can kind of do what they did. Remember back when they played the Reds again at Wrigley Field after they played the Twins in that late June series when the weather was warm and the wind was blowing out. They were able to take advantage of that. If that's the case at Wrigley Field for those series, you want to see that again.
Oh, absolutely. Fingers crossed.
And now, the other thing to keep in mind about the Reds is that they're a little banged up. Joey Votto, Winkler, who's killed the Cubs this year. Duvall is no longer on the team. So you got kind of a depleted roster going into that series. I don't know exactly what their health status is, but, you know, overall, you really got to take advantage there. Because as bad as the Mets are, like we said, that's going to be, in my opinion, the toughest series of the three during that stretch.
Yeah, it will be. But that's going to be, for that Cubs lineup, getting Syndergaard, DeGrom, two in a row, that's going to be really tough. And I don't expect to win both of those, but they really should probably win one of them and then take the third. But and back to the Reds, you know, even if they weren't banged up, they still got to win that series because it's the Reds. And if they drop a series to the Reds, they are going to feel the wrath of Cubs Twitter. It's going to be something to see.
I will be logging off if that is the case.
They will be.
Heck, even if we split, it'll be bad.
I'll be reading those tweets because they are going to be ruthless. If they lose even one game, Cubs Twitter is going to just have a field day with it.
Yeah, that's true. It's kind of how it's been lately. I know it's a bit more aggravating to lose those games in a tight race, but yeah. But you just hope that the Cubs can make this as easy as possible on them. The most control they have over any NL Central team is that they play the Brewers six more times. They only play the Cardinals three more times at Wrigley Field. That's the last series of the regular season. Who knows what that means? Maybe it's neck and neck in the Central. You never know. Baseball's weird, and that's for the division. Maybe the Cubs have already clinched, but the Cardinals are on the verge of making a wild card, and they want to play spoiler. You never know what could happen. Or maybe it means nothing. The Cubs have clinched. The Cardinals dropped out. You never know. But until then, the Cubs have no control over what the Cardinals do while the Cubs play the Brewers six more times within the next few weeks.
It's going to be fun to watch.
Yep.
Buckle
absolutely.
Up, buckaroo.
Buckle up, buckaroos. And with that, we are just about out of time here on Climbing the Ivy. We want to thank everybody for listening. And I guess I'll thank Adam once again for coming on the show and being my co-host. Thanks, I guess.
Yeah, whatever. Peace out.
All right. Everyone have a good night, and we will see you next week.